This weekend starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This weekend, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Vaccination frustration. I'm Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. Here's what's coming up this hour.
More political leaders are placing blame for a rise in COVID infections and hospitalizations on unvaccinated Americans.
The mental struggles facing some of the world's elite athletes like Simone Biles.
Why Olympic athletes bite their medals. We'll explain the history.
And live music performances have returned, but the musicians are out of practice.
Now, as the summer rolls around and things are opening up, he had one of the busiest weeks of his life. He had 7 gigs one week, including where he played 5 different instruments with 4 different lineups, multiple genres, and at one of the bands that he plays with, 3 of the other guys couldn't make it because they were too busy, so he had to find 3 other guys, and so he's really having quite a summer.
Joe Barrett at the Wall Street Journal on musicians feverishly practicing, brushing up on lyrics, and searching for equipment that's been stashed in a closet. Well, 7 months after the first coronavirus shots were rolled out, vaccinated Americans are growing frustrated that tens of millions of people are still refusing to get them, endangering themselves and their communities and fueling the virus's spread. For example, Alabama Governor Kay Ivey not long ago lashed out amid a surge of cases in her state, telling a reporter, quote, "It's time to start blaming the unvaccinated folks." More from Dan Diamond, national health reporter at the Washington Post. Dan, what's trending?
The Delta variant, which is spreading very quickly, is forcing a lot of new thinking. And one of the areas of focus has been, why are so many Americans still not getting the vaccine, including so many people who work in healthcare settings? As many as 4 in 10 nursing home staff may not have been vaccinated yet. So that has driven medical groups. It has driven employers. Or specifically government leaders, like in New York City, in California, at the VA, the Veteran Affairs Health System, to mandate either vaccines or the requirement to get a weekly test, in some cases, proving that you haven't had a coronavirus infection. So that's where we're at, and I think that there will be more coming. This is the tip of the spear in some respects, healthcare as an example for other businesses that may follow.
Why nursing home staff? Why is that rate so low? Any idea?
It's pretty surprising. I asked the association that works with nursing home folks, and their take was it just needed more time for education. As the head of the American Nurses Association told me, nurses are people too. If you work in healthcare, you are more knowledgeable about these things. And overall, parts of healthcare are far more vaccinated. Doctors are well above the national average. Nurses, I think, are at about 83% or higher vaccinated. Nursing home workers, though, they may be in settings where they haven't had as much access to background on the vaccines. They haven't had as much training. And frankly, there are a lot of myths and concerns about vaccines that came fairly quickly and have yet to be fully approved by the FDA.
Wow. Also, the White House is now calling this the pandemic of the unvaccinated, right?
Yes. This is the new message for a couple of reasons. One, it's true that people who are unvaccinated are the ones who are getting sicker or dying overwhelmingly. I've talked to hospital leaders who say that 80% or up of the cases in the hospital are people who are unvaccinated, that all the deaths are among people who are unvaccinated. Not to say that people who are vaccinated can't get sick, but that the concentration of cases is with the people who have less protection. At the same time, Gordon, I did talk to a patient advocate yesterday who said we should be really careful about making people who are unvaccinated feel like they're being penalized when in some cases they might not have any control. People who are unvaccinated might have a medical condition that requires him or her to get an exemption from the vaccines. So not all unvaccinated people are against the vaccines. There are some who desperately want it and for whatever reason still can't get it.
Yeah. We're speaking with Dan Diamond, national health reporter at the Washington Post. His piece is called Frustration Mounts over vaccine holdouts. We've seen more Republican leaders speak out about this, too.
In the past number of days, that's definitely been a notable turn. There are Republican leaders like Governor DeSantis in Florida, like some of the members of the U.S. Congress, who have said vaccines do offer important protection. This is the way to go. It's a much more aggressive pitch after some months of being more passive on this issue. I still think, Gordon, we're seeing plenty of Republicans who are attacking the vaccination rollout. They've cast President Biden's pitch for a door-to-door campaign into something sinister. I followed one of those door-to-door campaigns around several months ago before President Biden even started talking about it. These are volunteers going door-to-door, just offering information. They're not forcing vaccinations, as some Republicans have alleged. So not every Republican is singing from the same tune, but there are more who are pushing the benefits of vaccine than we were seeing a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and I still wonder about the holdouts because, as it was pointed out in your story, the irony here is that the people who are vaccinated seem to be treating this all more seriously than those who are not.
Right. I've spoken to folks about their mask wearing, and there's been some interesting polling on this. A couple of months ago, the CDC had said, if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask in most places. So people have steadily cut back wearing masks, including people who are unvaccinated, who heard that message and said, maybe I don't need to wear face coverings all the time either. That wasn't what CDC meant. The goal was to actually encourage unvaccinated people to get shots, too.
Thanks, Dan. Dan Diamond, National Health Reporter at The Washington Post. Coming up next, the mental struggles facing Simone Biles and other world-class athletes.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the course keeps changing right before your eyes. Whoa! And in order to maneuver it, you need an expert by your side. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the tech solutions you need to help you get out in front and stay ahead of the game. Woo! Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL and do more with modern devices in Windows 10 Pro.
Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. Companies that sponsor Simone Biles are offering their support following her decision to pull out of the individual all-around gymnastics competition at the Tokyo Olympics. The 24-year-old champion cited mental health concerns as the reason for her earlier withdrawal from last Tuesday's team competition. In-depth analysis from Lee Richardson, licensed professional counselor and founder of the Brain Performance Center in Dallas. Lee, what do you make of this?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I've been watching her, and a couple of times it seemed like she was just more caught up in her head than she was in what her body was doing. And that I recognize that. I see that in a lot of people. That's anxiety. That's uncertainty. That's lack of clarity.
So is she more helped by a sports psychologist, or would the issue be similar to when she says she wasn't like in the right mental frame of mind?
Well, I think she wasn't in the right mental frame of mind because of the stress level. I mean, Gordon, she hasn't lost a competition since 2013. She went there with personal goals, but she also knew that without her participation, the team could not take the gold. And so she had two levels of stress working on her. And that creates that internal struggle. Do I be true to myself? And do I, you know, take out or should I take one for the team? And you get all that inner chit-chat going in your brain, and it does put you in the wrong mindset.
So her decision took a tremendous amount of courage, obviously. What does she do now?
Well, that's a really good question, because I think she made the decision, and I think she remains confident in it, but that leaves her with the task of figuring out how to get back into that right mindset, because it's still her passion. She's still there supporting her teammates. She's still there physically. She's just got to do her work, and she's done some work. She's done some counseling, but she's got to continue that work and be able to get back into her own head.
Similar situation, I guess, for Naomi Osaka, the tennis player, who has withdrawn from a couple of tournaments. You sense the same thing? I mean, they're both champions, but Simone Biles is by far and away kind of considered the greatest in her sport.
Well, I do, but I do sense the same thing. And I applaud them both. And I think the United States should be applauding Simone for what she's done, because mental health is the same thing as brain health. And we're so, you know, if we break a leg, we're the first to say, oh, I've got a leg problem. But if we're not right in our head, we're more reluctant. We think it's mental health, and that has a negative stigma around it. Mental health, move over mental health. Let's look at brain health.
What could this do for this conversation that perhaps many athletes are having inside their own heads?
I think it'll give them, could give them some confidence, could encourage them maybe to do some work on their own, to do some counseling, meditation. There's different things that they can do. But if I think it could be very encouraging. I think, I mean, my gosh, she's not a great athlete. She's one of the greatest in the world. And to see someone of that caliber do it, it validates for them, okay, it's okay if I'm not okay.
Yeah. We're speaking with Lee Richardson, licensed counselor, also founder of the Brain Performance Center in Dallas. We're talking about the struggle facing Simone Biles and other world-class athletes like maybe Naomi Osaka. It's been said, too, in athletic circles that pressure is something you put on yourself. Or as Billie Jean King once said, pressure is a privilege. But how do you square that as an athlete?
I think it's really, really difficult because and where it starts is you've got to be in the right mindset. When you're in that right mindset, you can square it. And when you're not, you can't. And, you know, when you think about the Olympics, first they were canceled, then they were rescheduled. And as many events as she's been at, it certainly got a different vibe. There's nobody in the stands. So it's a different experience. And all of that, on a subconscious level, has got to impact the way she's reacting in that environment.
Yeah. It's interesting because at what the age of 24, I guess, Simone Biles is probably considered, you know, past her peak in terms of gymnastics. But so for the rest of her career, does she need different space in her head?
Well, and that's a really good question.
And maybe I should say for the rest of her life, not necessarily the rest of her career, which may be at the tail end now.
May. But, you know, she could continue on. She could coach. There's a lot of things that she could do within that gymnastic world. Or does she want to develop a whole other world for herself? I mean, she's 24 years old. She's got all the opportunity in the world to do that. But, you know, I ask myself, do you think she'll go back to college and you know, take on a whole new life? And I think that's a struggle for her that she's going to have to figure out. And I don't know, you know, where she is spiritually. I don't know where she gets her strength from. But it's a mind-body-spirit connection that will help us make everything right in our head.
Thanks, Lee. Lee Richardson, founder of the Brain Performance Center in Dallas. Coming up next, Americans taking real vacations.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. Companies that sponsor Simone Biles are offering their support following her decision to pull out of the individual all-around gymnastics competition at the Tokyo Olympics. The 24-year-old champion cited mental health concerns as the reason for her earlier withdrawal from last Tuesday's team competition. In-depth analysis from Lee Richardson, licensed professional counselor and founder of the Brain Performance Center in Dallas. Lee, what do you make of this?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I've been watching her, and a couple of times it seemed like she was just more caught up in her head than she was in what her body was doing. And that I recognize that. I see that in a lot of people. That's anxiety. That's uncertainty. That's lack of clarity.
So is she more helped by a sports psychologist, or would the issue be similar to when she says she wasn't like in the right mental frame of mind?
Well, I think she wasn't in the right mental frame of mind because of the stress level. I mean, Gordon, she hasn't lost a competition since 2013. She went there with personal goals, but she also knew that without her participation, the team could not take the gold. And so she had two levels of stress working on her. And it, that creates that internal struggle. Do I be true to myself? And do I, you know, take out or should I take one for the team? And you get all that inner chit-chat going in your brain, and it does put you in the wrong mindset.
So her decision took a tremendous amount of courage, obviously. What does she do now?
Well, that's a really good question, because I think she made the decision, and I think she remains confident in it, but that leaves her with the task of figuring out how to get back into that right mindset, because it's still her passion. She's still there supporting her teammates. She's still there physically. She's just got to do her work, and she's done some work. She's done some counseling, but she's got to continue that work and be able to get back into her own head.
Similar situation, I guess, for Naomi Osaka, the tennis player, who has withdrawn from a couple of tournaments. You sense the same thing? I mean, they're both champions, but Simone Biles is by far and away kind of considered the greatest in her sport.
Well, I do sense the same thing, and I applaud them both, and I think the United States should be applauding Simone for what she's done, because mental health is the same thing as brain health, and we're so, you know, if we break a leg, we're the first to say, oh, I've got a leg problem. But if we're not right in our head, we're more reluctant. We think it's mental health, and that has a negative stigma around it. Mental health, move over mental health. Let's look at brain health.
What could this do for this conversation that perhaps many athletes are having inside their own heads?
I think it'll give them some confidence. Could encourage them maybe to do some work on their own, to do some counseling, meditation. There's different things that they can do, but I think it could be very encouraging. I think, I mean, my gosh, she's not a great athlete. She's one of the greatest in the world. And to see someone of that caliber do it, it validates for them, okay, it's okay if I'm not okay.
Yeah. We're speaking with Lee Richardson, licensed counselor, also founder of the Brain Performance Center in Dallas. We're talking about the struggle facing Simone Biles and other world-class athletes like maybe Naomi Osaka. It's been said, too, in athletic circles that pressure is something you put on yourself. Or as Billie Jean King once said, pressure is a privilege. But how do you square that as an athlete?
I think it's really, really difficult because and where it starts is you've got to be in the right mindset. When you're in that right mindset, you can square it. And when you're not, you can't. And, you know, when you think about the Olympics, first they were canceled, then they were rescheduled. And as many events as she's been at, it certainly got a different vibe. There's nobody in the stands. So it's a different experience. And all of that, on a subconscious level, has got to impact the way she's reacting in that environment.
Yeah. It's interesting because at the age of 24, I guess, Simone Biles is probably considered, you know, past her peak in terms of gymnastics. But so for the rest of her career, does she need different space in her head?
Well, and that's a really good question.
And maybe I should say for the rest of her life, not necessarily the rest of her career, which may be at the tail end now.
May. But, you know, she could continue on. She could coach. There's a lot of things that she could do within that gymnastic world. Or does she want to develop a whole other world for herself? I mean, she's 24 years old. She's got all the opportunity in the world to do that. But, you know, I ask myself, do you think she'll go back to college and you know, take on a whole new life? And I think that's a struggle for her that she's going to have to figure out. And I don't know, you know, where she is spiritually. I don't know where she gets her strength from. But it's a mind-body-spirit connection that will help us make everything right in our head.
Thanks, Lee. Lee Richardson, founder of the Brain Performance Center in Dallas. Coming up next, Americans taking real vacations. This is pretty sobering. Every 10 seconds, someone becomes a victim of fraud or ID theft. And even worse, 23% never recover their money. If you think it can happen to you, that's what they're counting on. But now, there's Aura. Aura is all-in-one protection from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and more. And Aura alerts you to fraud and threats fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. It's a new type of security service that protects all of your online information with one simple subscription. Aura is easy to set up, and all plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds and experienced U.S.-based customer support that's got your back. Right now, Aura is offering our listeners early access and 3 free months when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com/Gordon to get access before anyone else and 3 months for free. That's aura.com/Gordon. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Coming up this half hour, how back-to-school shopping will be more expensive. Also, comments on online financial forums. Plus, live music is back, but are the musicians ready? And why Olympic athletes are still biting their medals. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. Well, families are getting a welcome taste of normalcy with most schools slated to reopen for in-person learning in the fall. But back-to-school shopping this year will present new challenges. Here's how from Elizabeth Buchwald, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. Elizabeth, explain.
I remember when I used to do back-to-school shopping, my teachers would give me this big list of stuff. It would be like 6 spiral notebooks. And I'd be walking down the aisles with a parent and, you know, they'd say, oh, let's wait to see if you actually really need that. We could always come back and get some more. Parents are doing the exact opposite this year. They're saying, you need 6 spiral notebooks? Let me get you 9. They're in stock at Staples right now. Let me stock up on everything. It's kind of similar to what we saw at the beginning of the pandemic with the infamous toilet paper phase where, you know, you saw it, you just get it and you leave the store and get out.
Wow. Is this like 2 years almost of supplies that we're getting since we didn't have any, or maybe we didn't need as many last year?
It is, in the sense that it might even be 3 years because people are trying to still figure out whether they're going to be going remote going forward, and they're trying to get laptops and tablets. Then they're also trying to get, again, the school supplies that they see in case their child's going back to school. So I say 3 years in the sense that there's, you know, a lot of confusion between what's going on for next year, the year after that, and not as much left over from the year before.
Toughest for the elementary school kids?
For sure. I mean, they're the ones that are going to want the most new clothes, the most cool backpack and all of that, which is going to be much harder to get this year with supply shortages. And also the big issue is with cleaning supplies because they're the ones who haven't yet qualified for vaccines, and teachers are demanding a lot of paper towels, a lot of Purell, and that's going to be kind of hard for some parents to get.
How about the prices for some of this stuff right now, Elizabeth?
We're seeing prices go up just simply due to inflation. I saw certain items on Amazon when I was researching for the story, like notebooks are a lot more expensive than you'd expect them to be. The character backpacks are, if you could get your hand on some of them, a lot of them are sold out, but they're looking like they're also much more expensive than they had been earlier this year.
We're speaking with Elizabeth Buchwald, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. Her piece is called Don't Wait, Back to School Shopping Will Be More Expensive and More Challenging This Year. Electronics, what kind of shape are we in for those? Because we saw that chip shortage for some time, or still experiencing the chip shortage.
Yeah, in short, not good shape at all. You're competing with businesses that are trying to get a hold of computers that are back ordered, and schools themselves are trying to get a hold of things for students. But there again is a shortage of chips that's eating at store supply and people's ability to get the computers and tablets that they want, limiting choices and again, more expensive.
Yeah. How much are we spending as families on some of this stuff?
So we're expected to spend upwards of $850 per family. That's up about 60 from last year. Again, a lot of that has to do with just trying to be prepared. If it's there, let's get it. And college students are obviously spending a lot more because they're going back to dorms for the most part. A lot of schools are requiring those vaccines.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Elizabeth Buchwald, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. Coming up next, why online financial forum comments deserve an eye roll emoji. Staying sharp is how businesses stay successful. But the guys at Harry's, they took it literally. Their business stays sharp because their products do. In a recent study, Harry's customers said their eighth shave was as smooth as their first. Redeem a Harry's trial set when you go to harrys.com/deal and see if you agree. They craft their blades in their own German factory to make sure they meet their high standards. They're so confident in them, they offer a 100% money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And the bottom line is, you get a great shave and end up looking pretty sharp as a result. Harry's is giving their best offer to our listeners. New Harry's customers can redeem a starter set for just $3 at harrys.com/deal. You'll get a 5-blade razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel with aloe, and a travel cover to protect your blades when you're on the go. That's a $13 value for just $3. There's never been a better time to try Harry's. Visit harrys.com/deal to try Harry's today. Well, if you want to see your fellow citizens at their least appealing, look no further than online discussion forums. All too often, they're a repugnant cesspool of anger, bullying, and boastfulness. Jonathan Clements, founder of the personal finance website HumbleDollar.com, says this often reflects more about the commenter rather than the target of the comments. Jonathan, how do you see it?
So, yeah, when you look at online forums, I mean, they're a total cesspool. The the comments that people make are just appalling. I mean, certainly even on HumbleDollar.com, I police the comments pretty closely to make sure people are remaining civil. But in other forums where there is no policing going on, you really see the worst of humanity. And what you see is not, you know, pressing insights into the world, but insights into the person who is making the comment. And so, for instance, one of the comments that I see all over financial websites, these boasts that people have beaten the market. And whenever I see these boasts that people have beaten the market, I'm immediately suspicious, because we know from the data that even the professionals, most of them fail to beat the market averages. So when I see somebody, some amateur investor saying they beat the market, all I can think is, yeah, maybe it happened, but maybe they don't really know how they performed. Maybe they're only tracking what happens with their winners and they forget about the losers they've already sold. Maybe they're not thinking about risk. Maybe they're not even comparing their results to a benchmark index and they just assume that they've beaten the market.
Yeah. What is the point about market timing?
So most of my audience at HumbleDollar.com tend to be people who believe in indexing. You know, they simply buy funds that track the broad market averages. But there's a certain sort of religious aspect to index funds, and people believe there is one true way to behave. And yet that simply isn't the case when it comes to indexing. Even if you buy index funds, you're making active decisions. How much are you going to have in U.S. stocks, and how much are you going to have in foreign stocks? You know, when are you going to rebalance your portfolio back to your target percentages? If you get a lump sum, maybe it's an inheritance, maybe it's a tax refund, maybe it's a year-end bonus, are you going to invest that money slowly or all at once? These are active investing decisions. So when people claim that there is one single right and true way to index, I'm immediately suspicious.
We're speaking with Jonathan Clements, editor at HumbleDollar.com, and he's written a piece called Playground Taunts, and it's about comments on financial forums. How about what is the boogeyman, as you referenced, these supposed evils that people reference?
Yeah, when you look at financial comments on websites around the web, you know, you see various bogeymen being fingered. You know, it's the Federal Reserve, higher taxes, Republicans, Democrats, the federal budget deficit, you know, how the consumer price index is calculated. And yeah, there's clearly, you know, some, you know, aspect of all of these that could potentially hurt the financial markets and hurt investment results and hurt the economy. But let's be serious here. If you and I know about these dangers, more than likely, it's already reflected the prices of stocks and bonds, and it's not going to bring the financial markets crashing down. Moreover, the economy is so complicated, there's so many moving parts, that no single force is going to lead to a market collapse. It's just way too complicated for that. So if you're out there believing that there is one single evil thing that is going to derail the economy and the markets, think again. It simply isn't the case.
How do you take it when somebody remarks, say, on your forum that this article is so unsophisticated?
The price of sophistication on Wall Street is very, very high. People like to believe they're being sophisticated. They like to own clever investments. You know, you think about things like private equity investments. You think about hedge funds. You think about these actively managed funds that pursue these complicated strategies. But the fact is, most of the time, these strategies result in market lagging performance. And the simple reason is this. These active, complicated strategies involve high investment costs. The price of sophistication on Wall Street gets paid by the people who are investing in a sophisticated manner. They're paying high management fees. They're paying high trading costs. And more often than not, the result is market lagging performance.
Thanks, Jonathan. Jonathan Clements at HumbleDollar.com. Coming up next, the rocky road as live music returns.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the world is throwing everything it has at you, and to succeed, you need someone to guide you through. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the tech advice to help you navigate whatever challenges you're up against and get you safely to where you want to be. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL and do more with modern devices and Windows 10 Pro.
Glad you could spend part of your weekend with us. Live music is making a comeback, if you haven't noticed. That's good news for everyday working musicians after a year of mask mandates and crowd limits. But the shift from feast to famine has turned into a mad scramble. A look behind the scenes from this weekend's Jennifer Koshenka.
Live music may be back, but some of the musicians are out of practice. Here with the story is Joe Barrett of the Wall Street Journal. Joe, your story profiles an accordion player named Matty Metcalf. What's his deal?
Well, Matty, had kind of a quiet winter. He was taking private students, but he also had so much time on his hands that he decided to record an entire album of French accordion music. Now, as the summer rolls around and things are opening up, he had one of the busiest weeks of his life. He had 7 gigs one week, including where he played 5 different instruments with 4 different lineups, multiple genres, and at one of the bands that he plays with, 3 of the other guys couldn't make it because they were too busy, so he had to find 3 other guys, and so he's really having quite a summer.
Your story talks about musicians who are actually searching for equipment. Has this been a problem?
Well, it's more like, where did I leave that certain cord that I need? Or, I haven't had to take my travel amp with me for a while, so I got to dig it out of the back of the closet. They've got it somewhere. They just have to find it.
Now, are some of the musicians who are out there singing a lot overdoing it?
Yeah, some, they're used to singing, back like a year and a half ago, they were singing maybe 4 nights a week, and right now they've just got so much work that they're singing almost every night, and, they're getting a sore throat and, really just having to take care of their vocal cords to recover so they can be ready for the next night.
We're speaking with Joe Barrett of the Wall Street Journal. Joe, some of the musicians you talk to, too, are like physically pooped out from doing so many shows. I think sometimes we don't think about how demanding this can be.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the things that was fun about it, was just sort of getting behind the scenes of these people who, it's sort of the mellow guy down at the end of the, that you're watching at brunch, and, just how could that guy have any problems in his life, He's doing his, he's so happy, but, right now there's just so much going on that they're panting behind the scenes, but they're trying not to let anybody see it.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Joe Barrett with this weekend's Jennifer Koshenka. Coming up next, why Olympic athletes still bite their medals.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Well, finally, you may have noticed a phenomenon that's happened a lot in Tokyo and a lot more in past Olympics. Whenever anyone wins a medal, whether it's gold, silver, or bronze, there are pictures of the winners biting the thing. What's with that tradition? USA Today says the biting comes from what people mining for gold used to do long ago. If they found gold, they bite into it. Because gold was soft, the bite would leave a mark, and you'd know it wasn't, say, fool's gold that you could break your teeth if you bit hard enough. So why do athletes feign chomping on their prize medallions? David Walachinsky, president of the International Society of Olympic Historians, says it's most likely to satisfy the pose-hungry media. There are only so many things to do with a medal, and the excited champions are usually appeasing requests from the gallery of Olympic photographers when they bite down on their winnings. By the way, every medal awarded to athletes during the Tokyo 2020 Games is made from recycled metals. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Weekend. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.